Are we live?
Good morning and welcome to members of the council, the staff, and the public. My name is Dr. Chris Ulrich. I chair the council and we'll call this meeting to order. I want to thank everyone for being here and for participating in this important process. This is a business meeting that is open to the public but is not a public hearing. Therefore, discussion will be limited to members of the council and the staff unless questions are specifically directed to someone in the audience. The focus of the agenda for this meeting are the recommendations of the acute care services, the technology and equipment and long-term and behavioral health committees of the SHIC, for the incorporation of policies, assumptions, need methodologies, and preliminary need determination projections for the proposed 2016 State Medical Facilities Plan, otherwise affectionately known as the SMFP. The proposed 2016 SMFP will be posted on the Healthcare Planning and Certificate of Need section website in the beginning of July and will be followed by public hearings for comments at various locations throughout the state from July 7 through July 29, 2015. There are copies of the public hearing schedules as well as schedules for this year's remaining council and committee meetings on the table in the back of the room, and they are also posted on the website. I will take a few minutes to ask the members of the council for a brief introduction of yourselves to the public so that they will know who you are and who you represent. In the interest of time, I'll ask the members to be brief. I will start to my right and then we'll go around the table to the left. My name is Dr. Chris Ulrich. I'm a private practice neuroradiologist in Charlotte, and I am an at-large member of the council. TJ?
Thanks, sir. TJ Pulliam. I'm an at-large member. I'm a GI doctor, live in Southern Pines.
My name is Trey Adams. I represent small business. I work for the Lundy Group, which is a commercial real estate development firm here in Raleigh.
Denise Deschaux, Caldwell County Health Director, representing.
I'm Steve DiBiase. I'm the CEO for Ortho Wilmington, member at large.
Jalen Parikh. I'm from Harnett County Orthopedic Surgeon.
I'm Jeffrey Moore, Orthopedic Surgeon from Moorhead City, member at large.
Ken Lewis. I'm the Executive Director of the North Carolina Association of Health Plans, and I'm the insurance industry representative.
Rob McBride, I'm from Charlotte. I'm a orthopedic surgeon for North Carolina, an at-large member.
I'm Kurt Jacuse, I'm president of Health and Home Services in Hickory, and I represent home care and home health.
I'm Sandra Green, and I'm an at-large member, and I'm on the faculty at UNC Chapel Hill.
Jim Bergen, I'm the chairman of Harnett County Commissioners, represent rural government, I own C&D Insurance and partners in John Hester Automotive.
Christina Apperson, I'm an attorney here in Raleigh and I'm an at-large member.
Steve Lawler, Greenville, North Carolina with Biden Health and represent the hospital field.
Prashant Patel, I'm an intern here in Cary, representing physicians.
Mark Ellis, I'm an anesthesiologist in Cabarrus in Mecklenburg County, and I'm an at-large member.
Dick Akers, ophthalmologist from Gastonia, at-large member.
Thank you. I'm going to pass around the table to the members sign-up sheets for the public hearings. So we'll just circulate them, and one will go to my left and one to my right, and then we'll have introductions while that's going on of the staff, starting with the division director, Mr. Pratt.
Good morning, Drexel Pratt, division director for health service regulation. And our staff's here. We'll just start. Shelly, if you want to go ahead and start, you guys introducing yourself.
I'm Shelly Carroll Lake, section chief of the healthcare planning and certificate of need section. Elizabeth Brown, planner. Paige Bennett, planner. Kelly Disk, administrative assistant. Amy Craddock, planner.
Greg Jakubowski, Assistant Chief Planning.
Lisa Pittman, CON.
Fatima Wilson, CON.
Martha Frazzani, Assistant Chief, Certificate of Need.
Sorry. And the Attorney General staff as well.
Jim Farrell with the Attorney General's Office.
Derek Hunter, Attorney General's Office.
Bethany Bergen, Attorney General's Office.
Jill Bryan,
Attorney's Office.
Hannah Smith, an intern with the Attorney General's Office.
Tom Dixon, database manager.
And we have several members who are on the phone. Mr. Beaver, are you there?
Yes, Don Beaver, Catawba County, representing the Long-Term Care Association.
Good. And Mr. Brunick?
Yes, I'm Pete Brunick, President and CEO of Hospice and Guided Care Charlotte Region, and I represent Hospice.
And is Representative Lambeth on the phone? Not at this time. He will join us later. In accordance with the Executive Order Number 46, reauthorizing the State Health Coordinating Council, issued on March 4, 2014, we have certain procedures to observe before taking any action at a meeting of the SHC or the subcommittee of the SHC. I remind all members that it is your duty to always act in the best interest of the public without regard for your own professional, institutional, or financial interests. You should recuse yourself from voting on any matter on which you cannot meet this standard. The ethical standards for the SHC require that each member disclose any professional or institutional interest he or she may have in any manner coming before the SHC for action at this meeting. The chair will determine if the member needs to remove him or herself from voting on the matter in order to ensure the integrity of the actions of the SHC. The ethical standards also require each member to disclose any financial benefit he or she may derive from any matter coming before the SHC for action at this meeting. In the event of such a financial benefit from a matter, the member shall recuse himself or herself from voting on that matter. Members of the SHC are expected to and should confer with DHHS on any matters that come before them in the development of the SMFP. No member of the SHC, however, may confer with any DHHS employee regarding any proposed provision of the SMFP or any proposed or pending certificate of need application in which the member has a direct, conflicting professional, institutional, or financial interest, except in the public meetings conducted by DHHS or the SHC. All of the members have completed disclosure sheets describing various interests and associations that they feel need to be disclosed. Those sheets are available for review by the public. I will now pause for a moment to allow the members to review the matters on the agenda to make these determinations. Are there any members of the SHC who desire to recuse themselves from voting on any matter on the agenda?
I'll recuse myself from discussion on Zoshin Memorial Hospital.
Sure. I'll recuse on the hospice petition since my wife is a hospice nurse. I don't think I have a conflict, but I just won't vote. Mm-hmm.
I have previously recused myself from the intraoperative MRI petition, which is included in the Technology and Equipment Committee report. A member who has recused himself or herself from voting is not prohibited from deliberating on the matter, and I will make that determination after review that participation by the member would impair the integrity of the actions of the SHC, and I will make that determination. The minutes of this meeting shall reflect all disclosures and recusals made pursuant to the ethical standards, and such minutes will be provided to the governor for review with the SMFP. I remind the members that if any other items of business come before the SHC today that are not on the agenda, the disclosure requirements still apply. In addition, if in the course of deliberations an interest or benefit becomes apparent that you had not previously disclosed, you should advise the chair before the SHC takes action on that matter. Are there any questions about the governor's directive? Seeing none, we will proceed to the first order of business, which is an approval of the minutes of the March 4, 2015 meeting.
Move to approve.
Second.
And we have a second. Any discussion, amendments, or changes to the minutes? All those in favor of adopting the minutes signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Mr. Beaver, Mr. Brunick, aye.
Aye.
Thank you. We will now begin to hear the recommendation reports of the Schick Acute Care Services, Technology and Equipment, and Long-Term Behavioral Health Committees for the development of the proposed 2016 State Medical Facility Plan. The first report will be the Acute Care Services Committee, chaired by Dr. Green.
Thank you, Dr. Ulrich, and good morning, everyone. The Acute Care Services Committee met twice after the March Council meeting. We met on April 7th and on May 5th. At the April 7th meeting, we reviewed the current acute care services policies and methodologies. We had a petition requesting a change to the operating room methodology and a second petition requesting creation of an operating room policy to allow an exemption to the standard OR need methodology for certain ambulatory surgery centers dedicated to pediatric dentistry. At our second meeting, we looked at preliminary drafts of need projections generated by the standard methodologies in the chapters that we were responsible for. We also made a comparison between the licensure and the Trueben health analytics data. So the following is an overview of our recommendations chapter by chapter. So as regarding acute care hospital beds, chapter 5, we reviewed and discussed the policies, the methodology, and the assumptions for the acute care beds, and there were no petitions or comments related to this chapter. As we do each year at this point in time, we compare the licensure data and the Trueben health analytics data, acute care days of care, and we identified hospitals where there was greater than a 5% discrepancy. There were approximately 20, as there usually are each year, where there is that much of a discrepancy. The staff will work with the Shep Center and Trueben and the hospitals during the summer to improve the data, and the staff will notify our committee if any need projections change. However, of the hospitals that have this discrepancy, it is not evident that any of them would impact a need determination, so I don't think that will happen. We also reviewed draft tables 5A, 5B, and 5C, and at this point they indicate a need for 84 additional acute care beds in the Orange County service area, with no additional beds shown for any other parts of the state. And of course, the need determinations are subject to change as the data are updated over the summer. So with respect to Chapter 5, we recommend accepting the acute care bed policies, methodology, and assumptions, and the draft tables, with the understanding that staff will make updates as needed. Now moving on to Chapter 6, operating rooms. Here we did have two petitions this year. The first petitioner, Howard Stallings, from what Hudson, Atkins, Angel, and Davis, they requested that the Schick review its methodology for calculating operating rooms needed in the SMFP and change the standard methodology used to calculate OR capacity. We did not receive any comments related to this petition. The committee discussed it and recommends denial of this petition, but acknowledges that the Schick may want to undertake a new review of the OR methodology since it has been a number of years since we have done that. The second petitioner was Noel Smith and Associates, and the request was the creation of policy OR1 to establish certain conditions that would exempt operating rooms in licensed and CMS-certified ambulatory surgical facilities dedicated to pediatric dental surgery from the standard OR methodology in the SMFP. We did receive a number of comments by the March 20th deadline. Three comments were received in favor of the petition, three comments were received against the petition. We had a lot of discussion about this petition. Ultimately, the committee recommends that we deny the petition, but we further recommend the establishment of a stakeholder group or other mechanism to explore options and alternatives to address this request and to address the issues that they have raised. And I might add that a stakeholder meeting will be held this afternoon, I believe, in this room, and a number of interested parties have been invited to come and discuss the issues. So the committee reviewed and discussed the methodology and assumptions for operating rooms. We reviewed the inventory and the need determinations in draft table 6A, 6B, and 6C. Application of the standard methodology indicates need determinations in the following service areas as of May 5th, 2015. Brunswick County, 1 OR, Columbus County, 1 OR, New Hanover County, 2 ORs, and Rowan County, 1 OR. The committee reviewed table 6E, endoscopy room inventory, and so to summarize for this chapter 6, in addition to recommendations regarding the petitions, the committee recommends accepting the operating room methodology, the assumptions, the draft tables, and again, with the understanding that staff will make updates as needed through the summer. Moving on to Chapter 7, Other Acute Care Services, we had no petitions or comments received related to other acute care services. We reviewed the policy and methodologies for open heart surgery services, burn intensive care, bone marrow and solid organ transplant services. The staff presented us with tables 7A, C, E, and F, noted that there were no need determinations for any additional services in this area. So the committee recommends accepting the policies, the methodology, and the assumptions for other acute care services in Chapter 7, and they recommend accepting the draft tables and need projections with the understanding that staff will make needed updates through the summer. Moving on to Chapter 8, Inpatient Rehab Services. There are no petitions or comments received related to this chapter. We reviewed the methodology and assumptions. We reviewed draft of Table 8A. The application of the standard methodology indicates no need for additional inpatient rehab beds in the state. So the committee recommends accepting the methodology and the assumptions for inpatient rehab services. We recommend accepting the draft tables and the need projections with the understanding staff will make updates as needed throughout the summer. In other action, the committee authorized staff to update narratives, tables, and need determinations for the proposed 2016 plan as updates are received. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, Dr. Green. I need a motion for adoption of the committee report and a second.
So moved.
Second.
Thank you. We can now open this for discussion. Are there any questions, concerns about the report or other items that need to be brought to the council's attention? Mr. Brunnick, any concerns?
None for me, thank you.
All right. Mr. Beaver?
None for me, thank you.
Thank you. Hearing no discussion, a vote aye is to adopt the committee report as presented. If you wish to not adopt the report, you should vote no. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 And so were those two ayes on the phone?
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
The committee report is adopted as presented. Thank you again, Dr. Green, and members of the committee for this diligent work. We'll move on now to the Long-Term and Behavioral Health Committee report, which Dr. Pulliam, the chairman, will present.
Okay, thanks, Pulliam. Dr. Ulrich. Dr. Ulrich just suggested that I kind of change up a little bit. So before I get to the committee report that we'll take action on, I want to give you some information. Information being that there has been a nursing home methodology work group that's been meeting. Sam Clark, smiling at them in the audience, put in a petition last year suggesting that it would probably be a good idea to relook at the nursing home bed methodology. It hadn't been done in decades. Am I correct on that? Been a long time. So after it went through the process last year, it was determined that a nursing home methodology work group should be put together, and it has. The work group has met three times, April 10th, May 1st, and also an interim smaller meeting subset of the group, April 22nd. I'm not going to bog down in a lot of detail. I've been asked to chair the effort, been happy to do that, but probably the smartest thing I did was ask Trey Adams to vice chair the effort, because Trey understand. I'm kind of a process guy, but he gets the methodology stuff. He gets the data stuff. He really understands when he hears about these things what the implications are. So I will reassure everyone on the council and in the audience that the right people are at the table, and I'll read their names in a minute, that the process thus far I think has been very robust, very thoughtful. I think all the right questions are being asked. The discussions are exceedingly thorough. Now, seems to me it's a big can of worms. And once the can of worms has been opened, that the words of the GI doctor, a little bit hard to swallow, maybe a little bit hard to digest at all. We were hoping that we'd have a report wrapped up by our September meeting for action by the council at the final meeting, the October meeting. We may not be able to deliver the goods. So there may well be further work done, but hopefully maybe some solid recommendations for the 2017 plan. We'll see. Making no promises. Now, to the people, which is probably the most critical aspect. So those involved in the nursing home work group, members are Don Beaver, Kurt Jacuz, Lori Wisenhunt, Trey Adams, as mentioned, our vice chair, James Bergen, me, Travis Tomlinson Jr., Doug Sudreth, Sam Clark, Beverly Sparoff, I hope I didn't butcher that, Celia Inman, Mike McKillop, and we actually asked a couple of interested attendees from the public to come to the table to work with us, Max Mason, Will Holden. So great group. Again, special thanks to Trey. Also, Paige, where are you? Paige has been doing a fantastic job keeping everybody circled together and moving in the right direction. The only other thing to really report is that we're going to aim to meet again in July, and we're actively doing Survey Monkeys or some such to try and figure that out. So thank you, Paige. And thank the whole staff, truly. I mean, whenever we have come together, in the thoughtful approach that the chair affirms, we have our long-term behavioral meeting in the morning, have a little bit of a break, and then while we're still here in town, staff still around, that's when we've had the methodology work group, and it's gone very, very well. So that may be the precedent for us as we continue to move ahead. Mm-hmm. So that's that. I don't know if there needs to be any questions about it. Shall I just proceed on, Dr. Ulrich?
I'll only say that because it's a methodology change, it will have to go through the full public process for the 2017 plan. But we look forward to a strong proposal, and we commend the members who've been contributing time and the public who've helped with it.
I've heckled them the whole time that it's all about better planning, so they know that's kind of my pet peeve, and I think we're going to have much better planning. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, now, the report of the Long-Term Behavioral Health Committee. Again, thanking all members of the staff for the great meetings that we've had, but also the members of the committee that have been really diligent, very thoughtful, active in their participation, either in person or several by phone as their travel schedules have allowed. So I think we've done our job up till now. Meetings have been April 10th, May 1st. April 10th meeting, we looked at the current policies, methodologies for our chapters, which are chapters 10 through 17. Our May 1st meeting, we looked at the preliminary draft need projections generated by the standard methodology. So I'm going to go through a fast overview. The one thing I'll say, just so you don't have to hear me repeat it every time, is this. Number one, all inventories and need determinations are subject to change. So that's for all the chapters. So that's out there, and we won't be repeating that. So going right on into chapter 10, the nursing care facilities, no petitions, no comments for that chapter. Inventory has been updated based on all available information to reflect changes, including placeholders when applicable, and the inventory again, subject to further change. So the good news, no draft need determinations at this time. So our recommendation related to that chapter is the current assumptions and methodology should be accepted for the proposed 2016 plan. References to dates will be advanced 1 year as is appropriate and as is typical. So moving on to Chapter 11, Adult Care Homes. There were no petitions or comments. Inventory, again, has been updated. So we do have some draft need determinations for this chapter. Again, Adult Care Homes. Ashe County, 30 adult care home beds. Graham County, 20 adult care home beds. Jones, 30 adult care home beds, which is an increase from 10 beds as in the original table 11B. And then Washington County, 20 adult care beds, which is a new need determination not listed in table 11B, which had been posted. So again, those are all subject to change. So we recommend that the current assumptions methodology be accepted for the 2016 plan, references to dates as typical, advanced by 1 year as appropriate. Moving on now to Chapter 12, Home Health Services. No petitions, no comments. Everything's been updated and using the standard methodology, no draft need determinations. So current assumptions and methodology should be accepted with the dates being advanced. Moving on then into an area where we actually had some stuff to really pay attention to, that would be Chapter 13, Hospice Services. One petition came in related to the chapter. I will say, so the petitioner was the Association for Home and Hospice Care of North Carolina and the Carolina Center for Hospice and End-of-Life Care. I think to easily summarize and to appreciate the two major groups, they'd actually worked together very collectively and very collaboratively for about a year. I would say this was a fantastic industry effort. They did the best they could to include as many stakeholders as they possibly could. They went through the process, I think, in a very thoughtful manner, at least by reports that I've received. I wasn't a part of it, but I kind of kept hearing about it, and it all sounded really good. Again, they were working on better planning. So the petitioner requested that we modify step 7 of the hospice inpatient bed need methodology to reflect the 2-year trailing average statewide inpatient utilization rate rather than a more static 6%. Now, there is something that I'm going to read verbatim because I do want it to get into the record. The committee recommendation is very specific, not terribly lengthy, but I am going to read it, so bear with me. So the committee recommends modifying step 7 of the hospice inpatient bed need methodology to reflect the 2-year trailing average statewide inpatient utilization rate. This change in methodology requires different data to be pulled from other data fields than the current standard methodology uses on the license renewal data supplement. We further recommend that the Division of Health Service Regulation work with the two major societies to make sure that everything's being accurately and fully completed for the annual data supplements to licensure renewal applications. Finally, we recommend that reviewing the hospice inpatient methodology in 2 years be done, specifically targeting the proposed 2018 plan to determine if this adopted change is producing the intended effects. I think I got it out there.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So the inventory has been updated based on available information to reflect changes and including placeholders when applicable. The inventory is subject to all change. So under hospice home care, there are no draft need determinations at this time. Under hospice inpatient bed, there is an 8-bed need determination now for Cumberland County. And a special note that the Carol S. Rogerson Center, a hospice inpatient facility located in Cumberland County, did not renew their hospice license for 2015. So the recommendation regarding the hospice services chapter, Chapter 13, we recommend current assumptions and methodology be accepted for the proposed 2016 plan, advancing dates by 1 year as appropriate. Moving to Chapter 14, end-stage renal disease dialysis facilities. No petitions or comments received. To remind everyone, the need for these new dialysis stations determined twice each year. Determinations are made available by the North Carolina semi-annual dialysis reports. Committee recommends that end-stage renal disease dialysis providers should self-report utilization data to the agency since the data is no longer available through the Southeastern Kidney Council. We also recommend current assumptions methodologies be accepted and dates all be advanced by 1 year as needed. Moving on now to Chapter 15, the psychiatric inpatient services. No petitions or comments. Inventory subject to change. Based on data information currently available, following through the typical draft need determinations under child psychiatric inpatient beds, we have some need determinations. Cardinal Innovations Healthcare Solution, LME-MCO for 12 beds. East Carolina Behavioral Health, LME-MCO, 22 beds. East Point, LME-MCO, 29 beds. Sand Hills Center, LME-MCO, 1 bed. And the Smoky Mountain Center, 5 beds. Next are the adult psychiatric inpatient beds, Alliance Behavioral Health, Healthcare, LME-MCO for 30 beds. Coastal Care, LME-MCO for 12 beds. Sand Hills Center, LME-MCO, 3 beds. Maybe one being held for me. Need determinations are subject to change. So recommendations regarding psychiatric inpatient services, recommending adding language to the methodology. Thank you for that. So some very clear eyes found some stuff that we need to clear up some wording. So thank you to staff for that. Committee recommends adding language to the methodology to clarify the definition of the planning inventory. We recommend the current assumptions methodology is clarified, be accepted for the proposed 2016 plan. Chapter 16, substance abuse inpatient residential services, that is chemical treatment beds. No petitions, no comments received. Everything's been updated, and we do have a couple of draft need determinations. Under adult chemical dependency, substance abuse treatment beds, the central region, 2 beds. Under the child, adolescent, chemical dependency, substance abuse treatment beds in the central region, 5 beds. And these are subject to change. So again, sharp eyes by staff found that we needed to add some language to the methodology to clarify the definition of the planning inventory. We recommend all assumptions methodology be clarified and accepted for the 2016 plan, advancing dates by 1 year. And finally, Chapter 17, intermediate care facilities for individuals with intellectual disabilities. No petitions, no comments. Inventory has been updated. No need determinations. So hence we recommend current assumptions methodology be accepted for the draft plan. References to dates be advanced. And that ends my report, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Dr. Pulliam. We need a motion to adopt and a second. It's seconded. Are there any questions, concerns, or issues that any member of the council has concerning this report?
Dr. Ulrich, I just wanted to make this, Mr. Ronick, do you want to make one quick comment?
Yes, sir.
In regards to the hospice petition, just for clarification, while the petition from the planning section requests that both associations work to help educate providers on methodology and proper data reporting, I think it just should be noted that that is something that both associations have been active in for many, many years. So I just didn't want it to go with the impression that this is something new that's being asked from the associations. They have always been very, very strong advocates for good data reporting.
Your comments are well received, Mr. Brunick, and we appreciate the effort of both associations, as we do in most areas of the plan, to ensure compliance and integrity. Mr. Beaver, any concerns?
No, at all.
Thank you. Any further comments or discussion or editorial changes? Seeing none, should you vote aye, it is to adopt the report as submitted. If you do not wish to adopt the report, you should vote no. All those in favor of adoption of the committee report signify by saying aye.
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 Thank you, sir. Thank you on the phone.
And remember the recusal on the hospice.
Yeah, that should be duly noted in the minutes. The report is adopted as submitted. Thank you. We'll now review the Technology and Equipment Committee report, which I personally chair, and I will give the report. The Technology and Equipment Committee met on April 22, 2015, and again on May 13, 2015. Topics reviewed and discussed included current policies, assumptions, and methodologies for lithotripsy, gamma knife, linear accelerator, positron emission tomography, magnetic resonance imaging, cardiac catheterization for the proposed 2016 state medical facility plan. Preliminary drafts of need projections generated by the standard methodologies were looked at. Two petitions requesting changes in methodology for MRI were reviewed. One petition requesting a change for methodology for cardiac catheterization was also reviewed and voted on. The following is an overview of the committee's recommendations for consideration by the North Carolina State Health Coordinating Council in preparation for Chapter 9, Technology and Equipment, for the proposed 2016 SMFP. The report is organized by equipment section in Chapter 9 of the SMFP. In order to avoid some redundancy in each of these subsections, there is a clause which says the inventory has been updated based on available information to reflect any changes and include placeholders where applicable. The inventory is subject to further change. I will not repeat that through the report. The committee also, there's also a recommendation that the committee recommends the current assumptions, methodology, and draft tables be accepted for the proposed 2016 plan. Also, references to dates would be advanced 1 year. That is repeated throughout each of the sections, and I will not repeat that in the report going forward. Chapter 9 deals with lithotripsy. There were no petitions or comments in this section of the chapter. The committee reviewed and discussed the policies, methodologies, and assumptions for lithotripsy. Application of the methodology based on data and information currently available results in one draft need determination in the statewide service area at this time. Need determinations are subject to change. With regard to Gamma Knife, there were no petitions or comments on this section of this chapter. The committee reviewed and discussed the policies, methodologies, and assumptions. Based on the data and information currently available, no draft need determinations have been identified at this time. Need determinations are subject to change. With regard to linear accelerators, there are no petitions or comments on this section of the chapter. Committee reviewed and discussed the policies, methodologies, and assumptions for linear accelerators. The application of the methodology based on data and information currently available results in no draft need determinations at this time. Need determinations are subject to change. The committee reviewed the current CPT code set for linear accelerators and discussed the difficulty with the current data using ESTVs and included a corrected and sometimes conflicting CPT code set. The committee voted to put out for public comment the current CPT code set for linear accelerators and ask the public to make any suggestions for changes or revisions involved. It is my hope that we will have a code set that is universally agreed to and will be adopted as a parallel collection data process for the 2016 plan, similar to what was previously done for MRI, with the hope that the methodology using CPT codes will closely approximate the current methodology and allow us to collect CPT code data only in the future. With regard to the positron emission tomography scanners, there are no petitions or comments on this section of this chapter. The committee reviewed and discussed the policies, methodologies, and assumptions for positron emission tomography scanners. Application of the methodology based on data and information currently available results in no draft need determinations at this time. Need determinations are subject to change. I also will editorialize that with regard to Mr. Adams' request, we will at the fall meeting look at how many applications were received for conversion from fixed to mobile, which I believe is due this summer for application. Chapter 9, magnetic resonance imaging scanners. There were two petitions or comments on this section of the chapter. Petitioner 1 was Carolina's healthcare system. Charlotte-Mecklenburg Hospital Authority doing business as Carolina's healthcare system respectfully petitioned the State Healthcare Coordinating Council to create a special allocation for one intraoperative magnetic resonance imaging system, otherwise designated IMRI, in the western portion of North Carolina. This would be health services one, service areas 1, 2, and 3, and to have this placed in the SMFB for 2016. One comment was received by the petitioner. The discussion during the committee meeting included support for incorporating new technologies in the state medical facilities plan. However, the petition request was too restrictive geographically and did not include language on the types of applicants that would be eligible to apply. The committee recommends that the petition requesting the special allocation of an IMRI machine in western North Carolina be denied, but supported the agency recommendation for policy TE-2, intraoperative magnetic resonance scanners. The proposed language in policy TE-2 would allow facilities across the entire state to apply, provided they meet the outlined eligibility requirements. This will allow the CON section to make a judgment without multiple repeat petitions to the council, based on the notion that this is a technology which needs to be available, but is an expensive investment that individual institutions will have to make a judgment about. The policy is designed to allow a broad number of applicants to apply. Petitioner number 2 is J. Arthur Doscher Memorial Hospital. J. Arthur Doscher Memorial Hospital, which will be referred to as Doscher, requested a policy adjustment and or change in the methodology in the 2016 State Medical Facility Plan regarding magnetic resonance imaging equipment. Two of the four comments received were from the petitioner. The other two comments were divided in opinion, with one expressing support of the petition with minor changes, and the other was in opposition. 32 letters of support were also received. The committee discussed this petition at the April 22nd meeting and continued the discussion at the May 13th meeting. This was to allow time for additional work to be done on an alternative proposal. The discussion included consideration of alternatives to the petitioner, such as petitioning for an adjusted need determination in the July 2015 filing date for the 2016 SMFP, and or the development of a policy to be considered for the 2017 SMFP that would go through the entire planning cycle. The committee voted to deny the petition as submitted. There are need determinations for two additional MRI fixed scanners in the current plan. One is a fixed MRI scanner in the Lincoln service area, and one fixed MRI scanner in the Mecklenburg service area. No other need determinations were identified using the standard methodology. The committee also reviewed 3 years of MRI data, compared reporting procedures we currently use, which is a procedure definition, with CPT code sets collected for the same years. The discrepancies between the two data sets were less than plus or minus 5% and varied slightly from year to year. Discussion involved data collection issues with duplication of numbers from hospitals and mobile vendors. The committee voted to use CPT code as the standard data collection for the 2016 hospital license renewal application and the 2016 registration and inventory forms. if adopted, procedure data will no longer be collected as it has been in the past. With regard to cardiac catheterization equipment, there was one petition with comments to these petitions received on this section of this chapter. The petitioner was WakeMed Health and Hospitals. Petitioner requested that the methodology for determining need for cardiac catheterization equipment in North Carolina be revised for the 2016 State Medical Facility Plan. Four comments were received about this petition. All were in opposition to the proposed change. The committee recognized that there is a variation in practices which may affect the average case times for cardiac catheterization cases across facilities, and that the total number of cases statewide have been declining over a multi-year period. The requested changes would have the effect of further suppressing need determinations. Since the current methodology produces very few need determinations, and over the years the adjusted need determination process has been used successfully in special situations, the committee recommended denying the submitted petition. Application of the methodology based on data and information currently available results in one need determination for a fixed cardiac catheterization equipment in Cumberland County at this time. Need determinations are subject to change. The committee authorized the staff to update all narratives, tables, and need determinations for the proposed 2016 plan as new and corrected data are received. That concludes the report of the Technology and Equipment Committee. I need a motion for adoption and a second.
Motion.
Did I say a second? Okay. Are there any comments, discussion, or concerns about the this section of the proposed plan? Yes, sir.
On the Dozier Memorial, can staff share with me and correct me the mobile MRI that's in place right now? Is that a part-time, or is that in place in their county and in their service area on a full-time basis? Or does it actually move out of there?
That's actually a fixed, for Dozier, that's actually a fixed, although it's called mobile, it's actually fixed on site, or actually not on the site of the hospital, but a couple of miles away. Yes, sir.
And so the request by Dozier after, as I understand, after leasing time on this machine for period of 7 years is based on the fact that the approval would actually give the inventory of MRIs, it would be in excess of what the inventory should be because we have a mobile that's not really a mobile, a cost that's supposed to go down if the Dozier approval was or Dozier request was approved, and a vendor who could move that machine to some other part of the state at this point.
Yes,
sir. Do I understand that correctly?
Yes, sir.
You chair the technology committee. I'm a little bit baffled that we've overridden a vendor contract or we've allowed a vendor contract that's expired and been in place for 7 years that's really not a mobile but a fixed over a machine that probably more fittingly belongs at or close to an emergency facility in a county that is growing and serves a different population and a piece of technology that I think has become much more common as opposed to what it was 7 years ago when the vendor contract was in place.
I'll respond to that on a couple levels. Because the committee doesn't disagree with you in principle. What we have is a grandfathered unit that pre-existed the law and therefore essentially is free to move wherever it wishes. So it's a mobile without the tires on the system. It's located, I believe, 4 miles distant from the hospital, which is a logistically poor situation. There are cost issues involved as well. The proposal required a policy change as the proposed solution, which raised a variety of other unintended consequences across the state if we dealt with it as a policy at this time. We have suggested that a special need petition should be considered by the petitioner, which would be due in the summer and would be dealt with this committee at the fall meeting and at our final meeting of the year. In the meantime, we're happy to consider or keep working on a policy change, but it is it's a problem which crosses a variety of lines, and it's very hard to craft a solution. In addition, we cannot pick winners and losers in a given county, and the application would have to be a competitive need. I don't know whether the mobile will pick up and relocate or has sufficient business to stay where it is, but that's not the concern of the ship. We have received over the past several years several other petitions for similar single county. In this case, it's also not a single county. There are actually two MRs in the county. We've dealt with a number of other single provider critical access hospitals that are only one in the county and have standards in place for that. Dozier does not meet those standards. We have tried to determine whether we should change the standard, and at this point we don't have enough data, nor have we seen enough problems where we should take a statewide, in my personal opinion, a statewide change, as opposed to using the special need petition, which is there to deal with special needs.
I understand, and I agree on not necessarily changing the statewide requirements. The special needs, I think, works, and we'll allow that to will allow it to go forward.
I can't predict the success of a petition, but I have urged them to do a well-written petition. And we'll consider it, as I say, this year for the 2016 plan, right, if it's submitted. So. Any other questions or concerns? We talked a long time. This is an issue of both quality access and of a critical access facility.
And,
Trey, do you want to say anything?
No. I think you covered it.
Yeah. Mr. Brunick, Mr. Beaver, any comments or concerns?
No for me.
No comments for me.
Thank you. Seeing no one wishing to speak, a vote yes is to adopt the committee report as provided. A vote no would be to reject the report. All those in favor of adopting the report as submitted, signify by saying aye.
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 Two ayes on the phone. It is adopted. Thank you. We now have a dual set of motions to go through, and we'll take them one at a time. We've now approved the recommendations of the three standing SHC committees. And as a final step, we need to have a motion to adopt the proposed 2016 SMFP as we have just voted for, which will then go out for public comment for the summer. So a vote in favor is to send the plan as now designed out for public comment. A vote no would be to restart the entire process. All of those in favor of adopting the plan. Well, that's the reality. I have an assumption about how this will go, but you never know. In any event, those in favor of adopting the plan as proposed signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Mr. Beaver and Mr. Brunick, both aye?
Yes.
Thank you. I will now need a second motion to direct the health care planning staff to continue to update tables, narratives, and need determinations for the proposed 2016 SMFP as new and corrected data is received.
So moved.
Second? I have a second.
Second.
This motion is self-explanatory. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
It is adopted. I will now ask Mr. Pratt to review the public hearing schedule as conducted by the Division of Health Service Regulation, and then I will review, I'll ask him to review the remaining committee and full council meeting dates for the rest of the year. Mr. Pratt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The public hearings, as you all know, are across the state at six locations, and I'll go over those briefly. We do encourage you, appreciate those that have signed up. We encourage you to attend any in your area, or you can attend all six if you like. We'd certainly like to have you as well. The chair at some point will assign a facilitator for each public hearing. We'd like to have a SHIC member to lead those public hearings. Staff will be there to support you and support the hearing, take care of all the paperwork. Again, we'd like to invite you to join us at those meetings. The schedule, July, the plan actually, the proposed published plan is 2015 has an error already. We have a July 8th is Wednesday. That is not July 8th. It is supposed to be held on Tuesday, July 7th. That will be New Hanover Regional Medical Center. July 10th will be in Greensboro at the Women's Hospital. July 14th will be in Asheville at the Mountain Area Health Education Center. July 17th will be in Concord at Carolina's Medical Center Northeast. This is a change from previous years. It's not going to be held at the main hospital campus. It'll be over in the Northeast campus in Concord. July 22nd will be Greenville at the Pitt County Office Building. July 29th here in Raleigh in this room on Dix campus. A couple of dates I just want to remind everyone of that's unrelated to the public hearing schedule. July 29th is at 5 p.m. is the deadline to have petitions for adjusted need determinations and other written comments regarding the proposed 2016 plan. August 14th at 5 p.m. is a deadline for receipt by the Healthcare Planning and Certificate of Needs section for any written comments on petitions or comments submitted by the July 29 date for adjusted need determinations or other issues arising from the proposed 16 state medical facilities plan. Those are just two very important dates that you need to keep in the back of your mind. Again, we invite you to come out. We invite the public to come out to these meetings. They're very informative. Sometimes their attendance is small at some of them, but the others, it's a pretty good sized group. And we always learn something at these meetings by having the public come and speak.
Thank you. Let's see. Remaining council meetings. I will review very briefly the remaining council dates. For the entire council, there will be a meeting on September 2, 2015, which I anticipate will be handled by conference call rather than travel to Raleigh to this facility. This is required because we, by order of the governor, meet quarterly, and this will satisfy that requirement. We will meet in person for the final meeting of the year on October 7, 2015. In this room to review the actions from petitions and the final committee meetings of the year and adopt the final plan, which will be sent to the governor for his review and signature. The Acute Care Services Committee will meet on September 8th, 2015, which is a Tuesday. The Long-Term Behavioral Health Committee will meet on September 4, 2015, which is a Friday. And the Technology and Equipment Committee will meet on September 16th, 2015, which is a Wednesday. Again, this will be to review the public hearings, special need petitions, and make any other necessary adjustments in preparation for our final full committee meeting of October 7th. Drexel has reviewed the public hearing schedule. I'm very gratified by the number of you that have signed up to attend at least one of the public hearings, and I will echo Mr. Pratt's comments that I have always learned something by attending these meetings and sometimes become aware of problems I didn't previously know about. So it's healthy, and I'm delighted that we have such a good turnout. You can certainly decide to attend more meetings if your schedule changes or if you want to review. It's not restricted. We're in plenty of room at the table. So please keep that in mind. Is there any old business that the SHIC needs to address at this time? Is there any member of the council that has a topic which they believe the committee should be aware of for future consideration at this time? Since no further discussion is deemed necessary, I will entertain a motion for adjournment.
Mr. Chairman, would I like to announce?
Yes.
That's okay. If I can just make...
Mr. Pratt, he has an announcement.
I'm sorry. I should have covered this earlier. Just from a process standpoint, so members will be totally familiar with how the process works. When the vote is taken on October 7th, if the plan is adopted, the final plan, our staff works pretty much day and night from then until November 1. Our target date to get the plan in the hands of the Secretary and the Governor is November 1 to give them ample time to review and ask questions and that sort of thing. By law, the Governor must sign by December 31st the plan. So I just want to make you aware that that is a timeline, and we will be working very aggressively after October 7th for the remaining weeks in October to get the plan ready for the governor's signature.
Mm-hmm. As a historical note, there has been one event that I'm aware of where need determination changed after our final meeting, when new data became available that had not previously been available. That, however, followed the methodology, and it was not a special need, but rather a data entry error that was detected very late in the year, which is highly unusual, but has happened. Also, I think it's important to realize the governor is free to revise the plan, or the secretary, to make changes in the plan separate from our process prior to the governor's signature. Once signed, it becomes the fixed at that point in time and becomes the governing document for the 2016 process. Any additional issues we need to cover? Are you all set?
I'm ready. Thank you.
Now I can ask for the adjournment motion. And a second. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks on the phone, guys.
Thank you.
Very well done, sir.
Thank you. I hope I wasn't too verbal about that.
No.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.